Thanks for tuning in to Sermoncast, the preaching ministry of Christ Church of Amherst. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting our website at ccnh.org.
Wow. I love when the Lord decides to do everything all at once and how he makes everything work together for his glory. I don't think it's any mistake that I'm going to be talking about forgiveness this morning. I too would like to thank the worship team this morning for doing what you do. I needed to hear it as well as my soul today. I've had a rough week, but it is well with my soul. Thanks, guys. So this morning, I was asked to come back. I guess that's a good thing. I guess it didn't scare you too much last time. This morning, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Luke chapter 7, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It has two of my favorite stories in the New Testament, the centurion's faith and the sinful woman. We're going to talk about the sinful woman today. And I know there's been a myriad of teachings on this, and I'm not going to claim to give you anything new. But I think every once in a while it's good to revisit this story because it really shows how much God really does love us and forgive us from many different angles. So I'd like to start there, if we can. So if you have your Bible or your eyeball or whatever it is you carry. I'm actually carrying my Bible today. Normally I use my phone. Luke chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet, behind him weeping. Sorry, I may cry. This story gets me every time. She began to wash his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who touches him. She's a sinner." And Jesus answered him, remember that, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So Simon says, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, Simon, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." He said, "You have judged correctly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus spoke to the woman again and said, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I love that story because there's two sides to it. One, you've got three major players in this story. You've got Simon, who invited Jesus, kind of curious about who this Jesus is. You got Jesus, who's in the middle of all of this and loves them both in different ways. And then you've got the woman, who was a sinner. Many believe she was a prostitute or sold into sexual slavery. We don't know. Just says she's a sinner. Really doesn't matter. We're all sinners. To me, that's a detail. But when you look at this, Jesus begins to speak to these lives with the same sentence. He's saying two things. It's very, very interesting to me. Jesus wasn't, you know, this is the first time in the book of Luke anyway that he had gone to a Pharisee's house for dinner. He does it a couple more times. You see it in chapter 11, you see it in chapter 14. He does this. He likes to go visit these places. And I think a lot of it was that Jesus was trying to speak to them. These were people who were, the Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't exactly keen on the idea of Jesus. Forgive me, I'm a little dry today. And they're still trying to form an opinion of him at this point. They know that he's obviously got something going on here that has to do with God. They understand that. They're not stupid. They can see that there are things going on. They're seeing healings. They're seeing miraculous things that has to be God somehow. But it doesn't fit into their idea of what God is. So to them, they're trying to wrap their head around it. I look at the, you know, they're looking at Jesus going, you don't fit our mold. Why don't you fit our mold? Why is it that you don't? And Jesus is looking at them saying, I'm not supposed to fit your mold. You're supposed to fit mine. You don't get it. And then you got this woman who comes in uninvited into a party. Now that's not uncommon. That's not the uncommon part. You got to understand, in this culture, when they threw a party, they threw a party. I got to give the Jews credit. They know how to party. They do. When they have a party, they have a party for everybody. They open their doors. And so when this Pharisee invited Jesus over, he wasn't just inviting Jesus, he was inviting the neighborhood, if you will, because they would have it in an open, outdoor place. And anybody was allowed to come, but only the guests were allowed to sit at the table. The invited guests. And they were the only ones allowed up there. So for this woman to come in uninvited and just walk up to the table and start doing this at Jesus' feet, whoa, was that taboo. Culture shock, culture breaks, everybody's going, what's going on? This Pharisee is sitting there going, oh my gosh, my party is ruined. Because she just broke all kinds of things. And everybody's looking to see what Jesus is going to do. And it's interesting, Jesus does nothing. Did you see that? He does nothing. He lets her do her thing. He lets her weep. He lets her cry before her God. He lets her wash her feet. He lets her anoint him. He lets her kiss him. He doesn't stop her. He doesn't try to shoo her away. He lets her be. Because that was her moment. This is a woman who is broken. This is a woman who understands who she is. All the eyes in the room looking at her, judging her, didn't have to tell her that. She knew. She didn't need that reaffirmed that she was a sinner by all the eyes looking at her. She begins to just weep at his feet. And then you got Simon. And he sits there and he goes, boy, if this guy knew who she was, he wouldn't even let her anywhere near him. And it's interesting that he says that because, you know, Jesus came for those kind of people. And he made no bones about it. And if you look in a chapter earlier, what did Jesus talk about? In Luke chapter 6, he talks about the Beatitudes. Loving your neighbor. Loving your enemies. Not to judge one another. That's with a whole plank in your eye. scripture comes from? Just the chapter before. All of these things, God's timing is so perfect. I love it. I love Jesus because if you look throughout his ministry and how his ministry weaved, it all flowed in perfect time. When he taught a teaching, he lived it out. He taught a teaching, he lived it out. He taught a teaching, he lived it out. So here's a moment where Jesus could have easily judged this woman, as Simon did. And he didn't. He simply let her cry. It's also interesting to me that Jesus listened to the Holy Spirit in this moment too, because if you look throughout also Jesus' ministry, the one thing that he did was he listened to the Spirit. There are many different occasions where he healed differently. He did things differently every single time. Why? Because he listened. God, what do you want to do in this situation? I've healed people before. I've ministered to people before. I've forgiven people before. This isn't the first time that Jesus publicly forgives somebody's sins. Two chapters back, there's the man who gets lowered through the roof because his friends wanted him to be healed. What's the first thing he says to him? Son, your sins are forgiven. And people freak out. Who is this to judge? Who is this to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Duh. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is basically what Jesus is doing in both of these instances. He's saying to him, guys, I am him. I'm the Son of God. I'm confirming that to you. Don't you see? This isn't the first time that he's forgiven sins. Not public. But that's what that woman needed, and he saw her heart. That's what makes Jesus so cool. And that's what makes you and I an absolute necessity to hook into the Holy Spirit to sense what it is that that person needs at that moment. So many different ways to handle the situation that happened, and Jesus handled it this way by just letting her cry. And then just saying, you're forgiven. Go in peace. Very different. And then Simon's sitting there and he's watching all of this and he's kind of judging Jesus, if you will. Because again, Jesus isn't fitting into his philosophy of holiness. And he's looking at Jesus and he's like, what are you doing? If you're a prophet, if you're really from God, don't you know that you're not supposed to associate with these kind of people? You can't let this woman touch you. You're getting unclean by just extension because she's touching you. But Jesus understood that when she was touching him, when she was kissing his feet, when she was weeping at his feet, it wasn't a sensual thing. It wasn't meant anything like that. It was her weeping before God and saying, God, I am broken. I'm a mess. All I have is pieces and I don't know what to do with them. I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need a fresh start. I need you. But Simon's looking at it from a totally different perspective. He's not focused on the forgiveness that's happening at the moment. He's only focused on her sin. But so is Jesus. He's focused on her sin because he forgives her. He understands what she's there for. But he's not judging her for her sin. He's bringing her life from her sin. He's speaking into her life and changing a life that is bowed before him in complete surrender, forgetting culture, forgetting all the things around her. She stepped up and said, I need this. I don't care what it takes to get there. I don't care what cultural barriers I have to break. I don't care if it's taboo or not. I need Jesus. And she went for it. And kudos to her. That's guts. That's guts. I'm serious. I look at that and I'm like, man, I wish I had half that boldness right there. to stand up in front of a bunch of people who knew who I was, knew about my past, knew what I was about, and to stand there in front of all those people and say, I don't care, I need God. I need him. I need his forgiveness. I need his love. I need this. I don't care what you think. I don't care what the problem is that you have with me. I'm coming to change that, and I need him. And then Simon begins to think these things in his head. And I love how it says that Jesus answered him. Did you catch that? It's literally written that way in the Hebrew, too. It's not a mistake. It's not a conversion to the English. It's literally written with the context that he answered what he was thinking in his head. How would you have liked to have been Simon at that moment? Here he is doing this thing in his head, and Jesus goes, hey, Simon, I want to talk to you. And he's like, oh, no. You know it, because he knows what he's about to say. And he answers, if you look at what Jesus says between speaking about the parable and then forgiving this woman, he answers every single statement that Simon said in his heart. Did you catch that? If this man was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she was, that she's a sinner. What does he do? He forgives her sin. If he was a prophet, well, obviously he was, because he wouldn't have known she was a sinner, and that's what she was looking for. Did you catch that? Jesus was as much speaking to Simon in that moment as he was her. When he forgave her sins and said, woman, your sins are forgiven, go in peace, he was speaking to Simon and saying, Simon, do you see what's happening here? Do you see it? The forgiveness is there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to fit in a box. I'm forgiving her because that's what she was seeking, and it's what you need too. Because here's Simon, a Pharisee, a person who is considered holy, who is considered the best. What does Jesus refer to him as many times in his ministry? Whitewashed tombs, I believe he called them, to their faces, which made them real happy. Jesus isn't so much forgiving this woman as he's crying out to Simon and saying, Simon, don't you see? I'm here. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God. I love you as much as I love this woman. You need me as much as she needs me. You're as much a sinner as she is. I love you just as much as I love her. Or else I wouldn't have stayed. Think about it. Jesus was disrespected in every cultural way he could have possibly been. And he points it out. But he doesn't point it out in a way that would anger him. It's to say to him, Simon, don't you see? I stayed with you because I wanted you to see this. I stayed with you because I love you. You didn't respect me. You didn't kiss me. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't give me the kiss that you were supposed to. That was cultural. That was a sign of respect. When he didn't do those things to Jesus, he was basically saying, you're allowed to come to my table, but I don't respect you. Ouch. I don't know if I could have sat down after that. I would have thought twice, to be honest. But Jesus didn't. He sat down. It says he immediately sat down. And it's because he was trying to reach Simon as much as this woman. She knew where she was. He didn't. He considered himself in that holy place already because of who he was, what position he held. And Jesus is saying, it's not about your position. It's not about your rules. It's not about your box. It's not about what you think God is. I am God, and I'm living it before you, and I love you, and I want you to grasp this. I want you to see that I love you just like I love her and everybody else that I minister to. You need forgiveness. You need me. And then there's people in the room that are listening to all of this going on. You don't think they didn't catch some of this either? You know, we talked about preaching the gospel in prayer today, and I really appreciate that a lot. Because when you think about it, when you preach the gospel to somebody, there's always somebody listening. I don't know about you, but I don't ever, at work especially, there's very few times that I'm one-on-one with somebody. There's always somebody around. I work in a company where there's 550 people on the campus in one building all day. It's kind of hard to find a quiet place if you can. there's no one-on-one at any time. It just doesn't happen. And it began to occur to me as I was reading this that when Jesus is speaking to Simon and he's speaking to this woman, there's a lot of people sitting here watching all of this. And they're seeing what's happening here. And they're going, wow. And then when he forgives their sins, what do they begin to do? They begin to question that. Well, wait a minute. Who is he to forgive sins? Did you see that? They're watching this. They're seeing this. They're observing what's going on here. And that's part of preaching the gospel, guys, is when we begin to speak to people and there's people around, they're going to hear it too. Jesus was good at maximizing his potential. Everything Jesus did in a way that not just the person he was speaking to got ministered to, but everybody that was around him saw it too. Very cool. I'm not going to say too much more other than this. I think in all times of our lives, at least in mine, I'll speak to my life. I've been both of these people. I've been the woman that was weeping at Jesus' feet just asking for forgiveness because I just was broken. Maybe that's you today. I don't know. I know I've been Simon sometimes too, and kind of judged God and said, God, why aren't you doing anything? I'm in the middle of the situation. Where are you? And I kind of judged God for not stepping in. Maybe that's you. I don't know where you're at. And it's not my place to know. It's God's place to know your heart. But what I do want to say to you all is, regardless of whatever position you're in, the forgiveness of God is there for you. The love of God is there for you. His care for you. His desire to know you. His desire to have that relationship with you is overwhelming. So whether you're the person that's weeping at Jesus' feet because you're screwed up, and you're saying, God, I'm a mess. I don't know what to do. Here's what I am. Nothing else to say. Help. Or whether you're that person that's looking around and going, God, why aren't you stepping in? You know, we talked about a lot of things going on in the world today. And I know fellow brothers and sisters who have looked at this and go, God, why aren't you stepping in? Why aren't you doing something? It's not our place to know why. It's our place to pray. It's not our place to know why. It's our place to support every single one of our brothers and sisters around this world as much as we can. And leave that up to God. He sees a lot more of the tapestry than you do. One of my teachers at Eon Bible Institute used to say to us all the time, he brought in this big, huge tapestry. He was Irish, and he had a family history on it. It was very cool. But he said, if you look at the tapestry, he said, you'll see. You look at it as a picture, but what do? You begin to zero in on things that intrigue you. And then you miss the beauty of the whole thing, don't you? You begin to focus in on those things that speak to you, but you miss the beauty of the whole tapestry. That's the one advantage that God has on all of us, is what he spoke to us about. He's like, remember, sometimes we see a piece. God sees it all. And he understands how it all weaves together and how it fits and how it works. It's not up for us to know the whole tapestry. It would overwhelm us. He's like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to know how this all works. He goes, it would be overwhelming to me and I'd probably explode my head. He goes, that's why we trust God that he'll handle it. Forgiveness is a beautiful thing regardless of what position you're in. Whether you're the woman or Simon, in the end, it's a beautiful thing. So I ask you as my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to consider, what are some things that you haven't forgiven others about? What are some things that maybe you haven't forgiven God about? It can happen. We're human. But we're also believers in Christ. And as so, we should always be looking for that opportunity to grow. We should always be looking for that opportunity to get past those things that hold us back. Because it's a beautiful thing when we do. There's nothing more freeing in the world when someone forgives you. And I'll tell you from experience, there's nothing more freeing when God forgives you. Let's pray. God, we've seen two different ways that you forgave people and spoke to people about forgiveness and love. And God, I look at these two examples and it amazes me how you cared about both. You loved both equally. You love us all equally. God, I ask that if there is areas in our life where we need to grow and we need to forgive, whether it's someone on this earth or someone in heaven like you, even. God, that we would look at those moments and say, God, this is a chance for me to grow. I want to be forgiven. I want to move on. I want to get past this. And I want to be the person that you've called me to be. So God, I ask that you would begin to stir us to look for those moments. Look for those things, Lord God, that we can say forgiveness either needs to be given or we need to have forgiveness given to us. God, that we would deal with these things, put them behind us and move forward. That we would not get stuck in that moment. But God, that we would live for you. Help us realize, Lord God, that when we speak about you with our lives, with our words, there are people listening, even if it's beyond just the person we're speaking to. Help us to walk in your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Be guided every moment to know exactly what you want to do in that moment. That we wouldn't just call on past experience and try to fit that into that moment. But Lord, that we would submit to you and listen to your voice and say, God, what do you want to do this time? Show us how. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org and subscribe to our channel through the Sermoncast link. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.